हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
page 40 Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. It's not, you don't want to make an announcement or something. No? No? Okay, footnote 15. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur establishes the all-powerful Lord as the only cause for the manifestation of jiva and prakriti. Bhagavan eka evaste parashakti samanvitaha tachakti nisrito jivo brahmandam cha jagat makaha makam. God is one. God has many transcendental powers. The individual souls of the material worlds are all manifested from God's powers. Right, because they're trying to say that they're independent or different or everything like that. So the point being made before is then God manifests two powers. You know, like that. The jiva expands these two powers, the jiva and the material energy.
The Lord. The Lord expands his jiva and material energy.
Sorry?
The Lord expands his jiva and material energy.
Why wouldn't they say?
Jiva
expands.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Lord. Well, jiva means that's Shankarshan, so that's also correct. When the Vedic literature said, Ekam eva dvitiyam, there's only one God, he has no rival. Neha nanasti kinchana, nothing is separate from God. Savishvakrit vishvavit, God created the world, he knows all that happens in the world. Pradana kshetra pratir gunesha. God is the master of the world. He is the master of the modes of material nature. Eko devo bhagavan varenya. There is only one God. He is the best of persons. He has all opulences.
Do you know where, in which part of the Vedic literature is this?
That one. No. By these words, God's eternal existence is clearly confirmed. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, it is said, Varanti tat tattva viras. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call the non-dual substance Brahman Paramatma or Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, is superior to Brahman, the impersonal divine effulgence, and Paramatma, the all-pervading supersoul. Still, one should not think that Brahman and Paramatma are two separate gods, and Bhagavad is the supreme god that dominates them. Here, the individual spirit soul is the seer, and Bhagavan is the object seen. When he first begins his spiritual life, and he travels on the path of philosophical speculation, Jnana Marg, right, that's different than mental speculation. Right, philosophical means you're taking the points of Shastra, and then you're trying to analyze them to understand how they apply in your life. Right, mental speculation means that's about sense gratification. Right? So even if we are talking about, we refer to these jnanis as mental speculation, because it's for the purpose of liberation. But if it's actually for the purpose of uplifting to understanding the Lord, then we would tend to call it philosophical. But it can be used either way. It has to be on that platform of detachment. If there's attachment, then it's always going to be Mental speculation.
Yes. Hmm? Philosophical speculation.
Sorry?
Can be done. Philosophical speculation can be done only under the guidance of a spiritual master, not otherwise.
Yes.
But it can lead to mental speculation also, if one does it by oneself.
If one doesn't do under
the guidance of the,
of the spiritual master, then that would be mental speculation.
Yeah,
yeah, basically. Yeah, so it's something they don't have. It's technically mental, but the process they're using is philosophical. Okay. When he travels on the path of philosophical speculation, Gyanamarg, the soul sees the Brahman feature of Bhagawan. When he makes some advancement on that path, the soul begins to walk on the path of yoga, yoga marga. When he walks on that path, the soul sees the Paramatma feature of Bhagawan. When, by good fortune, the soul walks on the path of pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti Marga, the soul sees Bhagavan directly. Bhagavan brings great sweetness to the eyes. He is full of transcendental bliss. He is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. His form is graceful. He is a very handsome and charming person. He has all opulence, all power, all fame, all handsomeness, all knowledge, and all renunciation. He has them in the best, most sublime way. Brahman and Paramatma are both hidden within Bhagavan. Bhagavan has all potencies. By his wish, his potencies manifest as regular and occasional pastimes. He is supremely independent. He is the author of all rules and regulations. Still, he is never bound by any rules or regulations. Bhagavan has no rival. No one is equal to him. No one is superior to him. His spiritual potencies are multifarious. They have many different powers. By these spiritual potencies, Bhagavan's spiritual abode, spiritual pastimes, and spiritual paraphernalia are all manifested. That are all transformations of Bhagavan's spiritual potency. Probably these are all, okay. From his perfect spiritual potency, the spiritual world is manifest. Bhagavan's potency acts in many different ways. One kind of action it performs is the manifestation of the many atoms. That is seen. Spiritual effulgence, spiritual qualities, and spiritual activities are all manifested from Bhagavan's spiritual potency. From the Jiva Shakti potency, the many individual spirit souls, jivas, are manifest. The spiritual potency has a shadow. From that shadow are manifest the five gross material elements, the five sense objects, the 10 senses, the mind, the intelligence, and false ego. In this way, 29 material elements are manifest. The potency that manifests the material world is thus called the Chaya Shakti, shadow potency. Tattva Vivek 2-3. So, just establishing, he has all these powers. They're not coming from the material energy. They're not coming from the jiva. Right, so they're coming from the Lord. Okay. So then we have, as we see, there's transformation. Shakti Parinamavad, that from that, the internal potency, then you have the transformation to the external. And that then transforms into all the elements. Right? And then the Tatastha Shakti manifests the jivas. Like that. Sri Govinda Bhashya. Siddhanta. Vijnana means the senses. The manifestation of everything from the Lord is understood because of the indication that he alone desired. This is confirmed by Shruti. Uttara, okay. Purvapaksha. But this is not possible because Shruti itself specifies a certain order of creation of elements, Talingat. The order of ether and other elements is confirmed by the order mentioned in other Shrutis. Thus, the order should be understood with senses and mind between the elements and prana. Therefore, you cannot insist that creation of these elements arises directly from the Lord by quoting your Shruti. Right? Because they want to say is that it's been mentioned in this order, and that you see as the element comes, then in between is then the sense and the sense object. Right?
Yes.
Like this. And so then they're trying to say is those things come from
yes.
each other. They don't
yes.
come from the Lord.
Yes.
Is it trying to keep the Lord in a position beyond?
Yes.
Not because of appreciating his transcendental position, but because of deification, that they want to keep those options for themselves.
So they're actually doing the opposite.
Yeah, it means they're not glorifying, because they're saying he's not creating this, and why can't he create this? Who else does? You know, Elmer Fudd, or, you know, who's doing this? Right? Does that make sense?
Burton. Huh? Burton Ernie.
Yeah, somebody, it's like, yeah. With these guys, it's probably Beavis and his friend.
This is mental speculation.
This is mental speculation. Like that. Because they're not actually coming up with the proper. So philosophical speculation means that you're actually trying to analyze, you know, through vichar, the knowledge given, and apply it according to the direction of the acharya into the situation you're in. So the speculation process we use, but it's not mental. It's not just whatever we feel like. It's we're trying to take something that's authorized and establish that. That then makes the position.
Well, we sometimes use the word contemplation instead.
Yeah, contemplation like that. It's the same thing. But the point means is that you're trying to see how to apply it. But it's based on the instructions of Guru Sadhu and Shastra. While the mental speculation may appear to be based in that, but it's basically on their particular mundane desire that they want. You know, and we're counting here liberation as a mundane desire. Right? Because they'll go, they'll be back. Right? You know, so that's the whole point. So it's not spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Driving a truck to the front of a store is not spiritual. Right? Utra, this is not true. Why? Because all the elements are not any different. Avisheshat, they are all born from the Supreme Lord. Etasmat means from him came the elements from Pradhan to earth. This is the meaning. Yeah, you give the list, that means from here to there. It includes everything in between. It's not that he has to say each time that he's doing. Right? Does that make sense?
Would that count as jalpa? We're discussing this. Are we kind of changing the framework of the discussion?
Well, there's because jalpa, generally you know what you're doing.
Okay.
But it could be that people don't know what they're doing. There's so much in ignorance. But it's chala, but it's not actually that they're thinking that this is actually the real meaning. Because if you have a material motive and the Shastras aren't supporting that motive, you have to change the perspective how you look at the Shastras so that the Shastras match your motive. That's the difference. So mental speculation means you adjust the Shastras for yourself.
Yes.
You know, or authority for yourself. So philosophical speculation means you adjust yourself for Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. But it has to come to the point where one's going above it. That's why Krishna said before in the 11th canto, you know, earlier chapters, that he's making the point that you're using this philosophical speculative process, but at some point you have to give that up and give it to him. Because once you've come to the liberated process platform, you don't use it anymore. Now it's a matter of you're following the taste. Right? The taste is Krishna. So when that taste is exclusively about Krishna, then that will mature into prema. But before that, you're following the philosophy, the tattva. Because you don't have rasa. But once rasa is there, you stop using the tattva. Not that you don't know it, you just don't need it.
Yeah. So that's for an arts and ritchie kind of in philosophical speculation.
Yeah, because that's all finished at that. Because once you come to the liberated platform, then anartha nivriti as a process is completed. Right? Means it's completed, you can say, to a major degree at the point of nishta. But there's still quite a bit left. But now it's gone to the point where it's gone. All that's left is fragrance. That, by absorption in the Lord exclusively, burns up that. You know? Then one is able to directly interact with the Lord. Because until you're completely pure, then how is he going to... In past means, he's going to interact with you anyway, But to be able to face-to-face interact, then you have to be able to come to that platform. So, yeah.
Manaj, also there is this aspect that once one becomes completely pure, then the aspect of adjusting, like as in the case of philosophical speculation, adjusting oneself to match to the absolute platform is not needed because it is natural.
Yes.
Whatever they do is pure because of the pure motive.
Because the spontaneity is about Krishna. Mm-hmm. So then you're just following Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you're eating and you're trying to, you follow the taste. Right, so you eat something, and then if it, you know, it's not so that you put something else there, then the taste comes out. You follow that. That works. Yes. You put more. You put too much, then you, okay, that's too much. You bring it back.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you're following the taste.
Yes.
So once one gets to the platform of rasa, you know, when you're absorbed in Krishna, you just follow where Krishna is, because Krishna only moves through himself personally, through the superior qualities. And superior situations, right? I mean, the inferior is also him, but it's the back of the Lord, right? So when one's bahirmukh, then one sees the back. When it's antarmukh, one sees the front. So one simply follows those paths, that taste, where Krishna is. Does that make sense? So then the speculation is not necessary. But until one comes to that platform, then the intellectual platform is used to keep you off the things that are wrong and keep you on the things that are right. Because it's said, you should always try to remember Krishna, be in a pure situation, be in the mode of goodness. So you keep yourself there only because it will give rise to Krishna. Then if we put too much focus on it, it's still we've made a mistake. Then we get absorbed in the mode of goodness, so then we'll have to get the benefits of that mode of goodness. Does that make sense? Yes.
Sometimes, like, we try to interpret the activities of pure devotees also based on our own philosophical speculation.
Yes, yes.
So the Jiva
Goswami, that's more mental speculation.
Jiva Goswami mentions, be for sure that the pure devotees, whatever they act, there will not be any rasavas or anything in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he explains, like, no, there is something called as rasullas. You use. You are in a particular sthayi bhava, but there may be that temporarily they are acting in some other sthayi bhava, but it is just to enhance their own rasa. Explains to by giving some examples. After that says, whatever activity a pure devotee is doing, it's always pure, so no need to.
Yeah, because they're following the rasa, the taste, so it matches in that situation. In another situation, they wouldn't use it. So it's just they're following Krishna. So Krishna wants to interact with them like that. That's why then they're following that. So it's a different thing. See, what we're doing is the process of the example given of the someone doesn't know what the moon is. And so you're trying to point out the moon. But you can't say that's the moon over there because they don't know what the moon is. But they do know what the tree is.
Yes.
And you see, okay, see that tree? Yes, they can relate to the tree.
Yes.
Okay, go up to the top of the tree. Okay, they can understand top of the tree. Okay, just to the little bit to the left of the tree, then you see that big round white thing?
Yes.
That's the moon.
Yes.
So you're comparing the moon to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing. We're taking our conditioning, you know, our varnas and ashrams and, you know, all these different things, and comparing them to this. And then through that we're seeing Krishna, because Krishna is everything.
Yes, yes.
But you don't require the tree to see the moon.
Yes.
Right? So the point is all these things, it's all Krishna's potency, has been said. But we don't catch that. We think that it's separate. It's its own entity.
Yes.
You know, the material elements are the material elements. They're not actually connected to Krishna. Because then that's mundane. You know, that's what all these guys are trying to say.
Yes.
You know, he's transcendental. So it sounds like I'm... But in saying that, you can understand the fragrance of false ego that's there.
Yes.
You know, he's transcendental. Like, why? Because I said so.
Yeah.
kind of almost dismissing him.
Yeah, but the point is no, he is every. That's the whole point. There is nothing separate. Otherwise, how do you get this separate? This is how you get the two God, what do you call it? Philosophies where there's God and then there's the devil.
Yes.
But the devil is able to function separate from God.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or another, you know, God will win. But at the same time, is how is it that the devil is able to do all this stuff? Separate than him, against his will.
And that's how you get atheism. Because if God is good, then how is this happening?
Yeah, how are these happening? How is he actually the control?
Yeah.
Right? But we also know from all the stories that getting in with the devil doesn't work out very good either. So, you know, there's no good stories of that. He's, you know, it always never works out like that. What is it? Yeah, I can't remember. It's a Czech name for an aspect of the devil, where you try to make deals, but he always wins. You know, house always wins. like that. So then you end up with this because you're trying to say God is all good, and so all this bad, so it can't be God, and so then. And at the same time, as they won't take the responsibility themselves that all this stuff's happening because of me. Right? It's got to be someone else. Right? Does that make sense? So then the good and bad, because you're seeing God is good, so there's bad, so then, you know, everything has to be seen in that light. So you end up with, it's just a natural thing due to material desire, false ego, that's all that's happening. So depending upon which aspects of ego is there, then which philosophies will come up, you know, or combinations. So, yeah. Okay, this uttara, this is not true. Why? Because all the elements are not any different. Abhiseshat, they're all born from the Supreme Lord. Etasmat means from Him. Tata dada, right? So if you change the T into a D. Does that make sense? It's going in that direction. Echad. Okay. Came the elements from prana to earth. This is the meaning. The Lord desired to be many. From him prana, mind and senses were born. Shrutis say the same. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matav sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. From me everything arises. Bhagavad Gita 10:9. Tatra tatra stito vishnus, tat tach chaktim, prabodayet. Eka evam maha shakti kurute sarvam anjasa. Vishnu, situated everywhere, awakes the power in everything. The one great power does everything easily. Vamana Purana. He awakens the power because he has a desire, so therefore then it follows that desire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then along with that, then in this one power does everything very easily. So the Srup Shakti can do everything very easily.
Yes.
Right? So anything Krishna desires, the Srup Shakti can accomplish. One should understand that all the elements, starting with Pradhan, arise from the Supreme Lord. And this is not contrary to the order seen in Subala Upanishad. The intention of the Chandogya Upanishad, though not mentioned explicitly, is to state that the Lord, endowed with power of tamas and other items, is the cause of the effects, starting with Pradhan. Right? So in the conversation, how many times are you going to give the full list? Right? In a conversation.
Maybe only one time.
Yeah, one time you'll do, you know, it's clear, and then after that you'll refer so that they know what they're talking about. So then they're taking those ones where they're just referring and then saying that's the complete list. When elsewhere it gives the full list, but they're saying no, you have to see that one in light of this. Yeah, so that's all. They're just cheating. Cheating.
All right. They have their own parampara set?
You can call it that.
But me and my friends?
Yeah, it means that means there's going to be someone who kind of is prominent in that way of thinking. The mode, basically, you could say the spirit, the modes of nature, are the are the gurus. So they're in the they're, yes, they're in the what do you call it? The
chaya.
What do you call it? Triguna. Triguna Mayi Sampradaya. So depending upon the particular mix of modes at the time, then these thoughts will come up. And that they come up, and everyone will also go, yes. You know, it's just like now, if you have somebody who says, well, there's so many rules, right? You can't pass urine, you know, towards, you know, into the field or towards the cows or towards the Brahmins or towards the sun or towards the road. And so, therefore, what do I do? So standing on one leg and hopping and turning, spinning it at the same time, they're passing urine. And that's the solution. What would you think now? This guy's got all his marbles, or you're even wondering if he has any marbles, or right? But at the time, due to the modes, people thought, such an intelligent man. And they called him a Paramahamsa. Do you understand? Because he's so, you know, all these things, yes, that's, you know, and it's for them, it's great realization and, you know, and wonderment and... That's the modes of nature. The modes of nature make something that's really, really foolish seem very intelligent. And something very intelligent seem foolish.
That's a real story?
That's a real story.
It sounds real, yeah.
You just have to ask your bona fide Hindus, and you know, especially on this side of India, and they'll tell you the story. You know, they might even you can tell you where, what street, and all that. And, you know,
guide you through some of his close followers.
Yeah. Because it probably all happened in Calcutta.
Yeah, that's why it looks like this.
Yeah,
yes.
Looking at Calcutta.
Exactly. You know, just see, this like is of the Paramahamsa. Yes. So then you get Calcutta, yeah, as I say, Calcutta as it is.
But Maharaj, in order to, if we don't accept the importance of God, we need to accept something.
Yes.
So we need to create some.
You have to create. You have to place God's potency somewhere else, and you only know yourself and the material energy.
Yes. Yes.
So it's going to be one of the two or both. You know, depending upon how much you want to. You know,
share.
Yeah, how much you want to share, or you and your friend, if it's just you, or if it's you and your friend, or you know, but not those guys, right? You know, they don't count.
Yeah.
You know, we have names for those guys. Like I think in Japan they call them gaijin, right? It means they're not Japanese. Right? You could be there, you can speak Japanese, do everything Japanese, but still you're not Japanese. I'm giving that as a general example. Like that. But everybody, it's always us and them.
Yes.
You know, I think in Spanish, then it's the
gringos,
yes, the gringos. You know, there's always something. You know, the basic thing is there's us and there's them. You know, so then that way the dualistic kind of mentality is seen. Yes, and then you have the dual God aspect and all that, and some get into the three gods, but that they somehow or another don't understand Paramatma, like that. So you have the so you're supposed to have the original Godfather, then you have his expansion as Paramatma, and then you have the holy all pervading spirit.
Yeah.
Right, but somehow or another they gotta work. They gotta work on it. So then, even though that was how the Greeks looked at it, then you have to adjust it for your own purposes.
It's a mystery.
Yes, because the problem is just only having two is not enough, right? You know, because that's what those other guys have, like that. So you have to have three. Like that.
It's popular. It's popular.
Yeah, it is popular. It's popular. But if we're going in that direction, then why not like the Romans had, and they have so many, you know, like
only
that.
3 million.
Yeah, so why only three, right? Okay. The intention of the Chandogya Upanishad, though not mentioned explicitly, is to state that the Lord, endowed with the power of tamas and other items, is the cause of the effect starting with pradhan. Thus both Upanishads are complete. That being the case, the phrase tajo shuri jata, it created fire, means the Lord endowed with the potencies of tamas and other elements, having created elements from pradhan to air, then created fire. In the Taittiriya Upanishad is said, tasmat va atmanas akasha sambhutaha. From the atma arose ether. This means from the Lord, atmanaha, right? Because also remember, atma is also, as we said, all these names are names of Vishnu.
Yes.
Then they can be applied locally to the other items.
Mm-hmm.
Because atma means he is the life force.
Yes.
Because we can say no, but the soul is also atma, but is the soul doing anything with the body? Where's the life force in the body coming from? Right? The soul is conscious.
Yes.
But it's not the life force. You understand? That the body moves and is animated is not coming from the soul. That's coming from Krishna's potency of prana.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. And if the soul's in the body, the prana is there. Soul leaves, prana goes.
Yes.
But it's not the soul is producing the life in the body. The soul is life, but it's not producing the animation of the body. That's prana. Does that make sense?
It's complicated. Because I always thought that soul has its own energy, generates, it's invested.
No, but it's consciousness. Like when Prabhupada talks about, because the soul's there, when the blood goes by to the heart, then it the consciousness of the jiva moves through it. It doesn't say the life potency of the jiva, just the consciousness. Because if you hold your the blood stops or stop, then you're not conscious of that part of the body. Like that, but it's still a lot. It still has the life force, but you're not conscious. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's the prana that it's talking about. That's what keeps the body. So as long as the prana is there, like in yoga, they have to keep the prana. Right. So when they even in Satya Yuga, even if they lose the body, they have to keep the prana moving in the bones.
Yes.
Right, in the marrow. So that much they have to take.
Like Hiranyakashipu.
Sorry? Yes, like Hiranyakashipu. Because he's just bones, but he's keeping through yoga. He's keeping the prana moving in the marrow.
Yes.
And then, you know, when Brahma then sprinkles his water from his kamandalu, then the body is coming back. But he's there and the life force is there, then it goes. But they can't do that in the Treta. There they have to keep the skin on the bones. Right? And not necessarily there's a lot of... I mean, all the skin's there, but there's not a lot between the skin and the bones. It's kind of like a Bengali date. Right? You know, there's the skin, and then there's the seed. And there's nothing in between. Yeah. You know, so, you know, like these bodybuilders that try to get down to, like, 5-6% body fat, these guys have got, you know, down to, you know, zero body fat. You know, can really,
not winning,
really see the, you know, their skin, you know, like that. You know, but, yeah, maybe not, only on Halloween. But, yeah, yogi could have some fun on Halloween, right?
They can make a killing.
Yeah, go out, yeah. Get enough candy to last them the whole year, right?
I guess Pumba Mele is there,
huh? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay. So is that any less complicated?
Yeah.
In other words, there's two things that we always put together because there's no real need to adjust that. It's only when you get into this level of discussion that you have to be able to see that there is a difference. Because for general application, we don't need to.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. But depending upon how technical it gets, then you have to be able to tell. You know, it's just like you get in your car and you just start driving. You don't need to know more than that. You know, you have the pedals and you move the steering wheel and, like that. But if someone is racing, they have to know more than that. Because then the action of the steering, the wheels, the road, all that takes on things that are different, even seemingly backwards. If the back tires are sliding, then the wheel is pointed opposite of where you want to go. You know what I'm saying? Means you're turning to the right, but you'd be turning. The wheel is being turned to the left. So at that level, it seems to be getting, but it's the same principle. You're actually just pointing the wheel where you want to go. It says the car is sideways, therefore you want to go in a particular direction on that sideways. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the point, is that if you're dealing in a more technical area, you need to split these points. But if you're not, you don't need to. So for us, generally, we don't have to split the aspect of the soul and the prana. But technically, we see, like in story of Paranjana, the prana is a separate entity.
Yeah.
It's the snake, right? Then there's Paranjana. But generally, we take them together. You know, say they're okay, he's breathing or stuff like that. But then why is it the body alive, manifests life symptoms when it's dead matter? That's because of the prana. That's Krishna. So actually, when super soul leaves the body, that's when things are.
Yes.
Because he's the prana.
They don't go.
You know, it's just like we may go out floating around. You know, they call it astral travel or things like that. But the body's still alive. You know, it's like that story of Shankaracharya. Then he had that debate. He wanted to debate with that Karmakandi. He was the biggest, because if you defeat him, then everybody else will follow. But I think it came up as that, well, you can't deal with the master till you've dealt with the disciples. So his wife said, you have to argue with me first. Right? And then she said, okay. And because she just wanted to get rid of him. So he says, okay, we will discuss, so then what, the topic? So I'm choosing the topic. Topic is Kama Sutra. Right? And so then in this, we're not going to discuss here just theory. We want to discuss actual realization. Right? And so she knows that he's a Naistika Brahmachari. He took sannyasa when he was 6. So he'll have, in that way, no realization. So in this way, then he it's over and he's gone. So he says, okay, give me some time. Right? So then he goes to a cave, has his disciples guarding his body. And then by yoga trance, he leaves the body and then he goes into, I'm not sure if the king something happened, maybe he was dying or something. So he enters that body. And then as a king, then he manages the kingdom, the whole family life, the whole thing is there. So then from that, then he has understanding.
Yes.
But the disciples were left to guard the body because, if something comes along and eats it or that, it makes it a bit trouble to come back, right? And then, but after time, the ministers, they understand that our king is not this smart. He's not this good. He's good. He was the king. He was better than any of them, but he's not this good. So they figured out that this must be, only someone of a particular character could be like that. Then they're thinking, and of that, the only person they know is Shankaracharya. So they said, he must have entered the body. That means his body's left unattended. So if we can get rid of that body, then he'll have to stay in the king's body and be the king. Because we want a good king, and this is a good king. Like that. So then they went looking for the body and all that. So then, you understand? So there's that thing of the prana and then the jiva. Like that. In a perverted form, you have the, avatar kind of thing. Like that. Yeah. So
I think Madhvas, they're really into this because the idea of Madhvacharya is that he is in, Mukhya Prana. He's that life force. That
yes, yes, yes. Like that. That's why they also don't have problem with the demigods, because they just see them that they don't see them as demigods. They see them as the potency of the Lord, in which is the that office is means this jiva is in the office of Indra, but actually the post is Krishna, and just the jiva is then doing that as a service to Krishna, because right? They're all devotees. So they don't really see the deva part. They see the Krishna part. That's why they don't have any problems. But the Shri is just to make sure that you don't get involved in any of this, you know, because too many Hindus, right? So then it's that nothing to do with demigods. They don't even go near, they don't offer obeisances. If there's a demigod temple, they walk around. Right? It's just like they really make a point to avoid the demigods. Well, the Madhvas don't like that. So does that make sense? So there is this difference between the consciousness of the jiva, because the jiva is consciousness, right? But to empower something so big as the body, that has to be done by Krishna. So that's the life force. That's why it's always mentioned. Otherwise, it would just be, you know, one of the things of the body. I mean, why mention life force? We don't mention the liver or the spleen, you know. Is that something said? But the life force is mentioned, because that's what makes it all work. That's what makes the liver and spleen do their liver and spleen stuff. The jiva's not doing it, because if it is, then why do you have to take medicine? Does that make sense? So Krishna's doing it, but according to your karma. So you were nice to your liver, then it works. If you're not nice to your liver, you have to take medicine. You know, there has to be some tapas. Right. We're not talking about that meditation where you smile at your liver. That means you're smiling at Krishna. So then why smile at Krishna in the form of a liver, right? Livers aren't very attractive. Smile at Krishna in the form of, you know, as Shyamasundara. Then that's better. We know this one?
The liver didn't come up in the 11th canto.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It doesn't come up as one of the main processes. You never heard of these things when they do the moving the chi and stuff like that, and so they
the organs.
Yeah, it comes up, and as you go, because it goes up through the spine, when it comes down, it goes through the organs, so then you smile at all the organs on the way down, like that. They got to keep themselves busy, right? They got nothing else to do. So. You know, you're sitting there in this cold monastery, right, with no windows, staring at a wall. You need something to do.
What do you got?
Yeah, you know, and there's no one there, so all you can smile at is your liver, right? You know, that's it. Like that. Yes, and so this is mental speculation. These are technically processed, but, you know, just remembering Krishna, then he is all these. He's happy. Your liver's happy. Right? That's all. So, yeah.
Maharaj, like, whenever, like, sometimes when the death takes place, so people usually say in India that the Atma has left. Others say the Prana has left.
No, the Atma is going. It's not that the Prana means if the Prana goes, the Atma is going. It just means when it's time for the Atma to leave, then that's when the Prana stops, because it's a matter, you have a certain amount of breaths. Like that. That's why the yogis that can live for hundreds of years, it's not that they get more breaths, it's that they stop breathing. So therefore then they live for longer. But while you're not breathing, you can't do a lot. It's not like they can go out and... Can you imagine that? Yeah, they'd always win at the kabaddi, right? Because they never run out of breath. They could go out there and run around and touch everybody and everything. And that's like that. It'd be like, you know. No? See, you know, the yogi at the Olympics and the kabaddi, yeah, like that. They'd always win.
They put a new
rule
on.
What?
Only 1 minute you're allowed.
Oh, I mean, because some people can go for more. Okay, yeah, okay. Well, then they took care of the yogis there. They must have figured out the trick. Okay, yeah, okay. Some yogis, okay. We'll get them.
So, Maharaj, between Atma and Prana, who leaves first? The Atma leaves first and then the Prana.
Does it matter who leaves first? I mean, but I'm saying, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to technically use this knowledge?
Can we use the example of a headless chicken? running around. Is that the prana acting without the atma? Sorry. I'll stop talking now.
Yes, you're just revealing your samskar. Yeah. And the one he can bring up about the guillotine, you don't want to know.
Take one.
That was actually the point.
But he didn't take his... It wasn't open, so...
Yeah.
But now I've disrupted the class.
No, don't close it. Or maybe close it, then the last lawyer.
Maybe you just keep it there inside.
Huh?
You can keep it there inside. It will last forever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm trying to mental now.
You're trying to mental. But you're not going to get menthol, right? You're not going to get menthol.
Not
okay. It's good? Okay. And on the third day he tried it, and it was good. So, are we...
No, no, he's good? Here.
Well, it was okay. His, then this came up. But the chicken, and the does that make sense to me? In other words, questions should be something that can be used. Otherwise, how are you going to use this? Wheels are turning. Yeah, okay. We'll leave you to turn the wheels. Oh, there's a... See if I can find it. What was that? What was that? What were you just talking about? I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Prana and consciousness.
Oh, yeah, no, it was about the just a nice thing on the yeah, okay, so here jnana vidyana, it's another spiritual knowledge. This is from the Bhagavatam 5.5.10 to 13 purport. Spiritual knowledge is jnana vidyana samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with jnana and vidyana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. Right, so then you're situated in those activities.
What's that?
That was Bhagavatam. Fifth canto, that's Prabhupada's report. funny. I was just looking at it yesterday. Yeah. That's the way it is. Trust is independent. You can't find things just because you want. Yeah.
You mentioned about vijnana.
Huh?
You mentioned about vijnana right now, about activities to engage in.
Yeah, well, it was a further, fuller definition of the Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. Mm-hmm. And it was giving that difference between the Manana and Shravana. Just had some point that I wanted to bring up.
That was interesting in our childhood. It was a common knowledge for us that one can just this idea of the no soul different from the prana, because the modern knowledge is not so much on us. The more we are into the gross body, and the more we are meditating on it, then all the subtler ones generally evaporate.
Evaporate, yeah.
Because, like, what you're getting gross sense gratification, you tend to think more about the gross body and that.
Yeah, you just forget about the others. Because for us, is that, for us, the metaphysical and the spiritual, that's what we generally look at. And then from that, then you view the gross and subtle platforms. But it's the point is they function because of the metaphysical. That's functioning because of the spiritual, because of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, this means from the Lord, Atmanaha, endowed with the energies of tamas and other items, having produced pradhan and the rest, down to ahankara, rose ether. In this way, there is a unified meaning. Bhagavatam, first reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.37. O gentle one, of all the physical elements, beginning from sky down to the earth, all the inferior and superior qualities are due only to the final touch of the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in all of them and the qualities they have, that's all coming from the Lord. So here both are mentioned. Because otherwise he's saying the elements are there, but not the qualities, and the qualities, not the elements, but here both are mentioned. The Sutrakar indicates that Adhikarana 8 below is reiterated in the current pada, referencing Adhikarana 8 of Adhyaya 1, pada 4, but from a different gradient, namely creation of elements. Adhikarana 8. All words are primarily names of Brahman. Secondarily, they indicate other things. Chara chara vyapa shraya dikaranam. Sutra reference 2.3.15. Adhikarana Prakashika. The previous Adhikarana established that although it apparently seems that one element is the cause of another element, actually the Lord is the underlying working principle behind those elements. Hence, one should not be confused by the different names assigned to the different elements. The current Adhikarana is only to strengthen the conclusion of the previous Adhikarana that all names are names of Brahman. Thus, the names of elements are in truth the names of the Lord. Earlier in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.28, Etena sarve vyakyata vyakyataha. We had established, based on Shruti and Smriti, that since the Lord is the cause of all causes, he is also the source of all names in the world. Hence, in this Adhikarana, the Sutrakar establishes by studying and realizing scriptures, one's intelligence becomes refined, and thus one can comprehend that all names of moving and non-moving beings are in essence the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because right? That's why they are what they are. Because the jiva is just sitting there. Right? The example is given like sitting on a chariot. But they're not the chariot, they're not the horses, they're not the reins, they're not the ground, the wheels, the movement, they're nothing of that. They're just there observing it. And because they're observing it, then they have that sense of proprietorship. Mm-hmm. Right? And so they identify with it. So then where the chariot goes, what situations it is, then they'll say this is nice. You know, the chariot parks under a tree, they say it's good. It's sitting out in the sun, that's not so good. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's winter, then it's better the other way around. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's Krishna that is all these things. So the chariot is a chariot because of Krishna's potencies. Right? So the mechanics, the rules, everything that function are coming from him. And as it said, it's coming from Krishna. Right? It's not coming from Vishnu, it's coming from Krishna. He gives all the rules. Right? Because he's the origin. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening. Maybe in his form as Vishnu, he's establishing them. But it's still he who's doing it. Right? So that he is all this. And then the jiva's there and taking part. Yes? No? Summary of Adhikarana 8. Vishaya. The holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are eternal and innumerable. During the temporary manifestation of the material creation, some of these names are also used to refer to material personalities and objects. But the primary meaning of those words remains the Lord, since at the end of the creation, the material persons and objects cease to exist. Right? So those things will go, but the principle remains. So that he is the origin of that. And then you have the rule is there in that metaphysical form. So he's the one that creates that. Then all these things that we see that we're attributing, no, that's the chariot. But actually there's the principle of chariot that's already there in the metaphysical. And that's coming from Krishna. So the chariots we see here are based on that original metaphysical chariot. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Can we say that it's like in a primary creation they have the prototypes?
Yes, that's it. That's what I was saying. The metaphysical, we mean that. The primary creation. Yes. So, yes.
All right, so demigods, they're in charge of metaphysical, is that right?
They're in charge of... They're using the potency of the metaphysical to apply to the physical, but they're not actually the controllers of the metaphysical. They work with, they're servants of that. So that primary creation, that aspect, that's Krishna, that's the Vishwarup. They're able to work within that context. So that's why then they, in one sense, you can call them the Adi Daivik, but actually, ultimately, the Adi Daivik is Krishna. Mm-hmm. Is that
so?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are given the tools, and they just
like Brahma. He simply the blueprint is there, the ingredients are there, and that, and as the engineer, then he puts together the universe. Does that make sense? But he doesn't produce the elements. He doesn't. He's not the power behind it. He's the one that just makes it function. So you see, when we get up into this end of the philosophy, that there isn't anything other than Krishna.
Yeah.
So, therefore, then the idea is that we'll lose interest in the, since it's all Krishna, why focus on these aspects of Krishna? They're Krishna. But why not focus on Krishna and Braj and his pastimes as Bhagavan? That's the interesting thing. That's where the taste comes for the living entity. So we use this technique to lose all interest in the material. And by that fine, being able to appreciate those fine details, then you can appreciate the fine elements of rasa. Does that make sense? Yes.
Even they get to that position by worshipping the Lord, having that particular potency. Is that...
Yes, it's Krishna, simply by Krishna's potency that they can get there. Right? It's why would an Ashwamedha Yajna take you to Indra's position unless Krishna arranged it that way? So when he says that he is the mantra, he is the yajna, he's the oblations, he's the priest, he's the yajaman, he's the results, he's the ingredients. You know, basically he's saying, because, you know, he doesn't have to say he's the brick. He's also that brick, and he's the brick next to that, you know, and then he's also that other brick at the end there, And then he's the cow dung, you know, on the brick here. He's also the cow dung on the brick there. You know, within the cow dung, he's that little, you know, flake of, you know, grass that's there in the cow dung here. He's also that one over there. You know, so that's why only the major ones are mentioned. So that's why I said you have to understand the intent. Otherwise, you get down. When we give these elements like that, we're giving the major aspects. But otherwise, they have so many fine features. You know, so it's just understood when you say this, it means that. You know, so basically what you're saying is, what is it? Alpha to Omega. Mm-hmm. Like that. You, that's the point that's being made. Is that, good.
Is this generally the metaphysical which is seen as the mystic thing by...
Yeah, it'll be taken as that, so mystic and all that. But that's why it's that Krishna is the supreme mystic. So that's how all this works, through his potency. Because the yogis are the mystics, they're into the being able to use and get the effects from it, but they don't know where it comes from. Why does it work? And why is it you go through a certain sadhana, then you can get these? Who makes these rules? How does that function? That's not being thought about, because a material desire, they only focus on the having those things and the effects that they'll get. But they don't worry about why they're there. You know, if you think about that, then it's like when that person came to Sanatana Goswami, and what is it? He wanted something...
Touchstone.
He wanted some. I don't think he asked about the touchstone or something.
Lord Shiva said that you go to him, he has something very valuable to
him. Yeah. Oh, okay, you go. Okay, because he went to Lord Shiva for material benefit.
He was a worshiper of Lord Shiva.
Okay, and then Shiva told him to go to Sanatana Goswami. So he said, Shiva said, you have something valuable. Okay, so he said, the Chintamani stone is sitting in the garbage. Right? Because you always, when you sweep in that, there's a certain place you just sweep up to there. You know, you don't keep sweeping until you get to Mathura like that. You sweep up to a point and it goes there. So everything just gets thrown there that you don't want. So the Chintamani stone was over there. Right? So then he takes the stone very happily and goes off. Then thinking about it, then he thinks, if this, which is so valuable, is in the trash, so... What does he keep that's valuable? So he went back and asked him. So that's the holy name. So that's the whole idea, is that if you really think about it, well, why would these mystic powers work anyway? And why is it this sadhana gets it? Why is it consistent? Why isn't it not, you know, somebody gets it from this sadhana, somebody got it from eating a bowl of Cheerios, you know, like that. You know, so why is it that there's the... does that make sense?
Yes. This one I didn't
hear. You didn't hear this one yet?
Not yet. I didn't know it's on the list.
I'm willing to try it.
yeah. But now, some say it depends upon the proportion of Cheerios to bananas.
And also if you pour in the milk before or after.
This is getting esoteric.
Metaphysical.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, not necessarily everybody knows this one.
Rahasya. That's the real rahasya.
Yeah, the real hidden meaning. Yeah. I just thought of an interesting contradiction. That those who would put the Cheerios first, then put the milk, you know, it's soggy, would most likely be the ones also who toast the bread, then let it cool, then put the butter, so it's crunchy.
Mm.
Well, those who would put the milk, then put the Cheerios, so that the crunchy, they're also going to be the ones that'll put tons of butter as soon as it comes out, so it becomes soggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, this contradiction.
Deep.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yes, now that's realization. Right?
That's real Vedanta then.
Yeah.
Urgent work.
Urgent work. The problem is we still have 7 minutes.
Okay.
Shamshaya. It is not so that if Lord Sri Hari is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all and the all-pervading Supersoul, then the names of all that is moving and inert would also be names of him. Right? Because if he's beyond, he's all, why would they be names of him? However, this is not so, for words are primarily the names of the various moving and inert things. That's why we call them those things. Like that. Purvapaksha. It is not true that all names are names of the Lord, right? So they're continuing. For words are primarily the names of various moving and inert things. We accept the primary meanings of words as given in the dictionary. And if they also sometimes indicate Lord Sri Hari, that is a secondary or indirect meaning, right? So they're taking it that the words mean the external creation, and then they can mean the Lord, while we're taking them that they mean the Lord, and they can be applied to the creation. Siddhanta, the Sutrakar, addresses the doubt as follows. Chara chara vyapashrayas tu syat tad vyaparesho bhaktas tad bhava bhavita bhavi bhavit vat. Chara, moving, achara, unmoving, and unmoving. Vyapashraya, the abode, tu, indeed, syat, may be, tat of that. Vyaparesha, name, abhaktaha, not figurative. Tat of him, bhava, the nature, bhavit vat, because of being in the future. Indeed, he resides in all that moves and does not move. Therefore, it will be learned that every word is one of his names. Right? So we say blanket, the blanketness that makes it a blanket is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the blanket. Right? We'll take it, no, it's the fabric and the weave and this and that. No. That blanketness can reside in something that has this. Right? And that, let's say for this case, that wool, that it can also accomplish that also is Krishna. So Krishna is the woolness in the wool. And then we can say, no, but it's how it's woven. He's the wovenness of the weaving. You know? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing, is he's all these things.
So if you don't believe in a personal God, then you have to kind of end at the conclusion that everything is illusion. Because that nessness.
Yeah. Yeah, the ness is gone.
The ness.
And then ask any, how you say, Irish person, they understand this quite well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
I hang out with Parashuram in London. He's good. He's very Irish.
Yes, but is he getting the ness?
I think he is.
Like that. Yes. Yes? No? You didn't catch?
No.
No one got the lockness of the
ness
here.
Yes.
Isn't that Scottish?
Is that Scottish?
Yes. Living here.
Even better. Even better.
Somewhere there.
Somewhere where the what's left of the Celts are hanging out, right?
No sun.
Hmm?
No sun.
No sun. Talk funny.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. The opponent's viewpoint is that the direct meaning of words refers to the entities themselves and may sometimes indirectly denote the Lord. The Sutrakar refutes or argues by stressing that one gradually develops the essential intelligence by the study of Shastras, yes, ultimately leading to an understanding that all names are names of Lord Hari. Because from this point, that's how they see Krishna and everything.
Yes.
It's not an esoteric thing. It's actually a very concrete perspective.
Yes. Yes.
It's just we're not used to it because we're so used to the opposite. Yes. So then because we're used to the one, the opposite seems to be, you know, abstract. Yes. And what we're looking at is concrete. But actually, it's the other way around. That it's all, yes, Krishna. That's the concrete. Mm-hmm. And that is can be used also as the external. And that's the abstract.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of shifting the consciousness. Mm-hmm. Means the blanket will remain.
Yes.
Whether you see it from Krishna, you know, the the perspective of Krishna or from the external energy. The blanket will still be there. But the difference is in the consciousness and that effect that that consciousness has. Because then you always see it as Krishna. So you'll deal properly. Right? If the blanket is Krishna, how are you going to deal with it?
Yes.
Right? You're not going to just leave it in the corner and let it rot. You're going to fold it up nicely, put it away, take care of it nicely. You're going to do all that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that.
So Maharaj, this is the goal of the study of the Shastra, is to change consciousness.
Yes, to change the consciousness. Yeah. That's the whole goal. Okay. Pretty cool. End here. He's still walking.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaurav Ki Jai.